Hello and welcome back to the Millennial Ag Podcast, where agriculture is always on tap and no topic is off limits. Thanks for joining us today, your co-hosts, Valene Cawhorn and Catherine Lotsbeach.
Hey everyone, welcome back to this week's episode of Millennial Ag. We have another exciting guest this week, as we do most weeks, and she is, again, someone very near and dear to my heart. Last week, you heard my husband, Jimmy, talking about opportunities in agriculture education to really switch up the way that teachers and industry people are helping educate the next generation of what we hope to be agriculturists, what they can do differently in their classrooms and in their work experiences to kind of keep up with the times of how much the industry is changing and evolving. So on the heels of that, we are welcoming one of my very best friends to the show, Chalisa Brocious. Chalisa and I were FFA state officers together, and then we were roommates in college, and we have stayed in really close touch ever since then. And then kind of an interesting opportunity came along last spring for her and I to work together again. So Chalisa, first off, welcome to the show. We're glad to have you here.
Thanks for having me. It's exciting.
It is. So before we dive into our topic for today, why don't you give us a little bit of background about yourself, your history, and your experiences?
Okay, so I grew up on a farm in Utah. We raised Suffolk, Suffolk sheep and crops, so corn, alfalfa, primarily alfalfa. So that's kind of where my journey began in ag. And then, like most little girls, I wanted to be a vet. And so I have some experience in the veterinary world. I was a technician for about 8 years through high school and college. And realized that that was maybe not the lifestyle I wanted. Served with you as a Utah State FFA officer and started when we went out and did, they call them chapter visits and visit programs and teaching. And that's kind of where I fell in love with that. And so from there, went to Utah State and graduated in agricultural education. And I've been teaching in Spanish Fork for the last 10 years. So, and running that FFA program, I have two other teaching partners and it's been a lot of fun. So that's kind of how I got here.
Yeah. And love that kind of a story for sure. And those, I mean, like we said last week, Val and I are both very passionate and very supportive of FFA. And anytime that we can highlight it on the show is very, very happy for us. So, so Chalisa, why don't we start off with, you got in touch with me last January.
So in education, you know, any other educators that are listening, you kind of get in a rut and you kind of get stuck in the same little groove. And that's kind of where I was feeling. I felt like, you know, maybe what I was teaching wasn't as relevant as it was 10 years ago. And I wanted some industry experience, wanted to, I don't know, be a part of production ag and be able to take some things back to the classroom. And so that's where I reached out to you and said, hey, I need a change up, and started with IDS. And it's been a wild summer, but it's been awesome.
So just some quick background for listeners who don't know, the company that I work for is called Peacock Technology. You guys, if you're regular listeners, you've heard that 1,000 times before. And we're spinning up a U.S. business off of the main consulting business in Scotland, and it's called Intelligent Dairy Solutions North America. So Chalisa came on board, joined us at the beginning of the summer to help us launch a new program called Dairy Data Partners. And I can make sure that there's more information for that in the show notes. But Chalisa, give us just, you know, a few sentences about what you've done this summer and your experiences.
So I've had the opportunity to actually travel and go out and see some dairies and meet with some of our clients. I think that's one of the biggest things with IDS is we want to be personable and we want them to have a real DDP, a real dairy data partner in their corner that's looking out for them and their business. And they're not talking to an AI or robot or whatever. It's a more personal touch. And so I've been able to work with some of those dairy farmers and then help our team to build reports that are customizable for that dairy, for them to be successful and see data in a way that's relevant to them and that means something to their operation. And so we push those reports out. It just varies, but mostly right now it's been weekly. And so it's been really fun to help, you know, see the background of how to put those reports together. Obviously, I am not a tech person, so that's not where I come in. But then I'm able to help push those out and make that connection with the dairy farmer.
So I think you're being really modest here in that you've helped, you know, put reports out this summer. You have truly helped launch the Dairy Data Partner Program, and we couldn't have done it without you, just because inside the company, we've all got so many plates to spin every single day. And you were brought on by our CEO specifically because of your education background. You know, you've done some things this summer that people have wondered, okay, how does that apply? Or maybe you even wondered, how does this apply to my education background and how do I bring that in there? But the program that we've built and that we've launched, you know, needs an advocate. And you have definitely become that person for us over the summer. But I think even more importantly, what it's allowed you to do and what it's allowed us to do is think about how we promote the idea of what we're doing, which is great from a commercial side and a business side. But more importantly, you've come up with some really, really cool ideas on how to bring these types of experiences and knowledge building all the way back down to the high school level. So fill us in on that. And where do you see this going over the next 9 to 12 months as you go back to teaching and what some opportunities might be?
So throughout the summer, I've kind of had some thoughts of, like you said, how do I make this relevant in the classroom? How do I show students that there is an avenue in agriculture that's not a vet, that's not a feed salesman? Not that there's anything wrong with those jobs, but there's so many other opportunities. And so in Utah, we have something in career and technical education that are called pathways. And so a student starts in the 8th grade taking courses that they want to take, that they are interested in. So it could be in with animals, it could be with automotive, hospitality, healthcare, whatever pathway that they want to choose. And then they take courses throughout high school. And then the capstone of that is they go out and do an internship program. And so in talking with my district, I said, hey, I've been working with IDS. I really think we could bring some kids on. They could get some experience and some exposure to real world ag tech. And they loved it. They thought that was super cool. We've never done anything like this where it's remote. And so that's a whole new aspect as well. But I think actually showing kids and giving them some hands-on experience in something that's happening in ag right now. And then from there, hopefully they want a job. Hopefully we're able to train them the way that we want them to be trained to work, you know, with our company, and they're ready to go. And that kind of, I think the biggest thing with education, well, one of the big things is we don't necessarily need a 4-year degree. And that was pushed, you know, we know because we're all close to the same age. When you were in high school, it was in our head that if you didn't go to college, you were going to fail and you wouldn't be successful in life. And I think we're getting away from that now, and we're realizing that we need people to be in the trades. And there's so many jobs out there. Why waste your time at a 4-year institution if you don't need to? And so I think with this internship program and this education piece with IDS, we can actually showcase that. And we can not only show our high school students that, but now let's put it out to industry and let's show some of these other big ag companies, hey, look at what we're doing with a high school kid. And you don't have to wait for them to graduate college. They can come work for you right now.
At Peacock Technology, we're transforming dairy farming with robotics and AI.
Our pre-brush and post-spray robots work on rotary milking parlors to ensure consistent udder hygiene, alleviating labor shortages, and maintaining high standards year-round.
Our advanced vision system and online platform integrates data from wearables and body condition scores, giving farmers a complete view of each cow's health and performance, saving time and costs while boosting efficiency and profitability.
Peacock Technology, empowering better decisions for your herd's well-being and productivity. Visit peacocktechnology.com to learn more.
I have a couple thoughts. So first off, the internship or the work experience that they're able to gain in high school on those specific things was a huge value to me. I was able to go, you know, sit in an engineering office instead of going to class my senior year a couple mornings a week to see what actually goes on behind the scenes. And so getting students in those roles is really, really important. And I think Jimmy talked about it last week. It's teaching things that can't be Googled. So it's being able to work with people. It's being able to interact with folks and learn how to learn on the job, because we can Google things, and getting 4-year degrees that don't have maybe a license attached to them or specifics aren't the same value that they used to be anymore. And even the universities seem to be being shaken up a little bit right now and maybe behind, you know, what the industry needs. So I would like to know your thoughts around that a little bit, but really appreciate, you know, the hands-on experience and getting outside of the classroom, because it's, we don't need to learn how to do a spreadsheet anymore, because there's, we can go home and learn that whenever we want, or AI is taking over some of that. It's learning those skills that AI or somebody else can't do, that a real human needs to be there to complete.
Yeah. No, and I definitely think, I hear it all the time in the classroom. Kids tell me, well, I don't need to do this. I can just Google it, or I can use AI, or I can, they don't see the relevance to a lot of things anymore because you can just go out and Google it. So I think we need to have a shift in mindset of educators. I think for a long time, there was a lot of pushback on that. And I think we need to embrace it, but we need to teach students how to use it responsibly and effectively, and also know how to make sure that whatever they're pulling out of AI or Google is accurate. I have students all the time that they look something up and I'm like, where did you find this answer? And they're, oh, it was the first thing that popped up on Google. And so teaching them that life skill of, you can't just take the first thing you see, or you can't just believe every little thing on the internet. And how do you cross-check and how do you make sure that your sources are good sources is a skill that we really, really need to teach young people.
Do you think that that's something, I mean, Jim, you said those same exact things last week. Like, you can Google anything. It's no longer doing a PowerPoint presentation saying, fill out the notes, right? So Jimmy said that same exact thing last week. And just like Val said, you know, pulling in some of those skills and learning how to actually critically think and work together, I think are super important. And that's, I mean, teachers like you and Jimmy, you know, your teaching partners, like the really good ag educators that we know out in the field, know that. And they're working to change their classroom styles and techniques to address that. And I mean, it sounds like you're already doing that and you'll be going back and doing that this fall. But how do you think that companies like IDS can help promote that as well, like while they're on the job?
I think just showing them exactly what they're doing and how we use AI at IDS to help generate things and build reports. But that's not just a, you build it and send it out. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, going through with a fine tooth comb and making sure that things are accurate and that it's telling the story that we want to be told. And so, you know, having kids practice that. I mean, I think my plan this year is I want kids to build some things with AI, but then focus really hard on when there are mistakes and there are things of teaching a student, hey, look at this. Did you catch that? Did you see this? And would you feel comfortable signing your name behind it? You know, if you build something in AI, is it still your work? Or are you just putting it out there? Because if it's bad or it's wrong, that's coming back to you. And you can't just say, oh, well, AI did it. No, you did it. And you need to take ownership of that. And so teaching kids that skill as well.
That's a lesson for everybody, not just students either. You know, it's, we think that we can just type something in ChatGPT and that's the easy way out of writing a report or writing an article. And it's a easy way to get an outline is how I use it. But I make sure to try to take that next level and make it Valene's work or AgPro's work that we've put our brain power behind. And it's, I think a lot of times, especially, I mean, teenagers, we were all that age too, but it's when you get an assignment, it's the quickest way you can get an assignment done and head over to start chatting with your buddies. And so if you can throw in, say, hey, write me an essay on how cows upcycle carbon, they're just going to throw it in ChatGPT. So it's training that interactiveness to keep their attention long enough to make it important too. And there's so many layers to that. And I also, like, we have more tools than we've ever had to make our lives easier, but we're also busier now than we've ever been as well. And so how do you balance that in the classroom by making things interesting, you know, or keeping students' attention longer than those snippets of, you know, data or getting something done really fast?
You feed them. You give them food.
Pizza. Lots of pizza.
No, I mean, in all reality, anytime I can bring food in and tie it in, and, you know, teaching ag, it's really easy to do. And I teach about dairy. I bring in shelf-stable milk from Gosner's and they get all excited to drink root beer milk. And all of a sudden it becomes more relevant because it's, you know, it's food and they can eat it. But in all reality, you have to find things that matter to them in their world. And sometimes that's really hard, especially the older I get. I think when I first started teaching, I was so close to that age that it was a lot easier. But figuring out what makes them tick, and every kid is different. And you can't reach every single kid every day, but the more time you spend and being able to give them exposure to what they want to do and what interests them. I mean, back to our pathways conversation. If I know that a kid is on a technology track and I hear, you know, about a webinar, I hear about a conference, I'm going to pull that kid aside and say, hey, did you know about this? And, you know, do you want me to help you get signed up? Can we talk to your parents? And maybe this is a cool opportunity for you. And so again, back to that internship philosophy of real world experience and showing kids what opportunities are out there that interest them and not just this cookie cutter, you know, PowerPoint, take your notes, sit down, everybody do the same thing. It has to be different for every kid. And that's a hard thing. It's something I struggle with all the time, but I try really hard to get to know my students at a personal level and then find things that are relevant to them. And one of the things that's been really cool for me is when we teach about food and different alternatives for milk, for example, or meat. They get really, really excited when we start talking about veggie burgers, and they all are so against it. And why would we ever do that? But then when they come back the next day and they're like, hey, at dinner, my mom made hamburgers and I talked to her and we talked all about veggie burgers. And I told them the things that we learned in class, and it's relevant to them and it applies to their family. And I've even had some parents reach out and say, wow, what did you tell my kid about veggie burgers? They came home talking all about it. So just figuring out how to make it relevant and how to reach them at their level and remember that they're kids. You know, at the end of the day, they are kids and they just want to come and have fun. And hopefully you teach them something along the way.
I think all of that is a really important way to lead in, or it leads into another question that I have. Well, you're talking about making it relevant, right? And I mean, it sounds like you do a really great job with that, A, by feeding them, because that's a really good way to keep someone's attention. You know, they're thinking about it when they go home. But I come back to the idea that we were all sold, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but we were all sold the idea. And it was true at that point in time, although I think that probably we were the end of the generation that it's true for, was having to have a 4-year degree, and that would make you successful automatically. And so much has changed between the time that we were in high school and college and now. And a lot has changed too in terms of like what people want to do and what the opportunities are. So thinking about, you know, when the kids ask you, how is this relevant? And how do you make things fun again in agriculture? Because there's plenty of kids out there who don't want to come back to the farm because it's hard work and it's manual labor. And, you know, we talk about in agriculture, we have a labor crisis. Is it really a labor crisis? Or if we use opportunities like this, does it become a labor opportunity? You know, and we can expose kids to all the new stuff that's coming out along the way. You know, there's opportunities in automation and, you know, building things with AI, like you said, Chalisa. I love what you said about that, because, you know, the obvious example is ChatGPT, and we all use ChatGPT, I know, amongst the three of us quite a bit right now. What can you build with AI? What's a system? What's a product? What's, you know, a solution that you can build with AI? And, you know, I think the really cool concept around what you're thinking about with IDS and education and pulling industry and education together is making those opportunities relevant to kids instead of, you know, not just sitting in front of a computer and coding, but what can you do with this kind of stuff and then send them out there and let them do it, right? Like Val said in the beginning, like actually being in an engineering office. How can you take your experiences this summer and, you know, this big idea that you've come up with in the last several weeks as you're finishing out your time with IDS, what are you going to take from what you learned this summer and the plans that you have for the winter and like really put it in front of your kids and say, here's what we're doing. Come be part of it.
I have this idea and I don't know how quickly it's going to roll out, but the big picture of this is I would love to give kids a scenario, you know, pull a scenario from a dairy of what are your refusals like, or how does body condition score correlate with the weather? Questions that actual farmers have asked us at IDS. And then present that to kids and then tell them, okay, now come up with a solution. And here's your tools. You have AI. You have access to something similar to our tracker system. I don't know if, I guess listeners probably don't know what tracker is, but you have access to, you know, all this data. So what can you pull together? What's a report? And put them in groups and say, what would you tell the farmer using this data that you have? How can you help them? and almost make it like a game. I mean, gamification is such a big buzzword right now in education. And so being able to just turn them loose and give them the information and say, how do you do this? How do you figure this out? And make them think and make them work together and then see what they can come up with.
And it sounds to me, as the math nerd that I was in high school, but it sounds like a big word problem. You know, you've given the like a real world word problem. And I found back in my trigonometry class, because it was one of my favorite teachers, but he would put a pivot up on the board and say, hey, we're irrigating this many acres and these are the corners. And this is like, what are your yields? What are the areas in the corners that you can't irrigate? Because this is the dimensions of your pivot. And like, that's rudimentary. But when I could say, hey, my dad has a pivot that looks like that, or I've driven by this, you start paying attention and you remember those things better than what's 10 plus 10 and here's a triangle and here's a bunch of data I need you to get in Excel and sort it, when you can tie it to a cow. Like, even if they never use that, go into tech or whatever, they can say, I remember doing the body conditioning scores and I remember processing data that it related to the dairy cow. And when they drive by a dairy, just having, when they could put it in the real world, and teachers, I have to give you so much kudos, because when teachers can tie that to real world things that kids see and experience, it sticks so much better than sitting behind a computer and typing out something about World War II that happened. And that's interesting too, but I want to give you kudos for all of that.
Thanks. No, and that's the beauty of teaching ag. I say all the time, I don't know how I'd teach anything else. But the longer I've taught, it's been interesting having conversations with other teachers, because there's so much cross-curricular. And I mean, you both know ag's and everything. And so, you know, when a kid comes to me and says, here's this math problem, I don't get it. And like you said, I can take it and say, okay, well, let's apply it to, you know, I know this weekend that you guys were out fixing fence. And so that's perimeter. How do we make that part of their everyday? And when we talk about history and where agriculture began and along the Nile River and what they were doing, you know, when we were nomadic and hunter-gatherers, and all of a sudden they're like, hey, I learned that in history. And so that's what I love about teaching ag, is it's in everything and it's great.
So one other question I have for you is, so the average age of the production agriculturalist is in the 60s. The people actually working the land is now less than 2% of the entire population. So within education, how do we encourage, you know, there's a lot of students not coming back to the farms and ranches that's there, but there's also a group of students that dreams of going to the farm and ranch, but doesn't know how. And so how do we encourage everybody to talk about succession planning from the high school level all the way up to the people that are looking to retire right now? Because there's a gap there of people not coming back to manage agricultural operations.
Yeah, no, there's a huge gap. And I think the internship program that we've been talking about, and getting kids out into the real world, bringing in guest speakers from agriculture and having them talk about their job. I think this whole idea of, you know, you don't need a four-year degree is really, really good. Because you're going to take those kids, because typically your kids that want to be in ag, specifically production ag, they are not classroom kids. They don't want to sit. They don't want to go to college. They don't want to, like, that sounds miserable to them. And so we need to really promote and really show them that they don't need to do that. They can go out and work with these companies. They can go out and intern, or, you know, apprentice or whatever, and get that on the job training and actually work with their hands and not sit behind a computer or a desk. And I think that would really appeal to them. I also think having these, you know, these farmers that are about to retire, start thinking about your grandkids, or, you know, not even your grandkids, but your, you know, your local high school. How can you pass on this legacy and teach somebody how to do what they've been doing? And I think kids will eat it up. They just need to know where and how to get there. And hopefully by building some industry partners with education like IDS, we're able to do that, and we're able to hopefully bridge that gap a little bit between industry and education and younger kids.
Hi, I'm Tom Heron, founder of Ag Professionals. Agriculture is always innovating and evolving, and at Ag Professionals, we provide the expertise to help you stay ahead. From land use planning and environmental compliance, permitting to real estate, civil and environmental engineering and land surveying, we offer one-stop solutions you need to grow and succeed. We're proud to support the Millennial Ag Podcast because we believe in the future of agriculture. Let's build that future together. Visit our website, agpros.com, to learn how we can help your operation thrive.
So talking about, you know, cooperation between education and industry, and this is what you're talking about here is like an entirely new way to think about it for high school students in particular, because in college, you know, you're supposed to go out and get internships over the summer and, you know, like big ag companies, they're waiting on their workforce to come out of a four-year degree program. What do you think are some of the, I was going to say roadblocks, but really this is non-traditional, right? And Chalisa, you were one of my favorite people for non-traditional thinking. I remember the first time, like when we were state officers and we sat down for our first planning session, I was like, she thinks differently. And this is cool because I feel like often my brain just lives in a box, and it's a box of, you know, just the experiences that I've had or the people I've been exposed to. And sometimes, like, there are so many times when we were state officers and when we were in college, you were like, no, that's a silly way to do it. Let's do it a different way. And flipping this whole idea on its head of, you know, the four-year degree and the internships in college, and you have to go through a certain pipeline to get where you're supposed to be. I think, like, this is hallmark Chalisa, and I love it. How do you think education and you with your experiences this summer with IDS, like, what do you need to do to help support and promote that flipping of tradition? Because if there's anything that we're good at in agriculture, it's tradition, right? And we can be really, really slow to adopt or adapt on certain things. I mean, this is a big step change for the way that we have always done things in ag, you know, trade shows and, you know, here's a presentation on this, learn the facts and write them down, and there's going to be a quiz later. I mean, what do you see as like we need to do for people like us, the three of us who are interested, companies like IDS who are wanting to try something like this out? How do we get this to be mass adopted?
Oh, I think that's a really hard question. And I think it's something we're going to learn about, you know, by rolling out this internship program is we just got to try it. I think that is one thing I've learned this summer working with IDS is you just got to do it and make it happen. And it might not be pretty and it might not be perfect, but let's roll it out and let's try it. And, you know, these big companies that they are sitting around waiting for a college student, why? Go find your local high school and get those kids on board. High school students have, I mean, they are busy, but they have all the time in the world to do something that's going to impact their future. I mean, that's where their brain's at. That's all they can think about is what am I going to do when I grow up? And so if you present them with that opportunity, I think they're going to bite and they're going to take it. And it could be really, really cool for somebody who wants to be in production ag or any aspect of ag to all of a sudden now they have a way to do it because it starts young and they didn't waste time trying to figure that out in college. They might fail. I think that's part of this too is, you know, they might go into an internship with IDS even and go, holy cow, this sucks. I don't want to do this. And that's okay too. And that's what we need to realize is they have got to, failure is okay. And it's way easier to fail when you're in high school than it is when you're 30, 40 years old, still trying to figure your life out. And so I don't know. I don't know the solution. I don't know how it's going to play out, but I think just start. Let's start somewhere. And then hopefully other companies see what we're doing and they get excited about it and want to follow our model. Not that it's going to be perfect, but it's something.
Well, and I think, you know, you said high school students are busy, but they have all the time in the world. They're busy with what they want to be busy with too, right? They don't have, their mom's probably still doing their laundry most of the time and paying their car bill and all that sort of thing. And so they're busy with sports. They're busy with FFA. They're busy with things that matter to them that once you grow up, you realize that I wish I was that busy again. You know, it's a different level. And so I think if you can spark their interest in the right way, they'll find time to do it within their thing and prioritize. And I appreciate too the failure because it takes trying all things out. It takes maybe going and sorting cattle to figure out whether you want to be a part of the feed yard. Maybe it's the ag tech and getting a plethora of experiences too. I think, you know, we're always like from a very young age, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I think it's a great thing to think about, but we also want to make sure we're encouraging them to think outside the box and try new things and dream because from the time they're 3 to the time they're 20, the world's going to change 10 times over on what they can do. And so I think a lot of experience
is good too, and letting them spread their wings and figure out in a safe environment how to crash into things and get back up and go again.
Yeah. Well, and I think that too. I think we have to support kids. A lot of time, you know, you turn 18, see you later, figure life out. And having relationships built when they're in high school with an industry partner, with, you know, having this network of people, even if they don't go work, even if somebody, a student doesn't come work for IDS after their internship, if they know, hey, I can call Chalisa, or I can call Catherine, or I can call Tia, or, you know, they've built this network of a support system and people that have other connections. I think that's powerful. And that's something that I appreciated with FFA. And FFA is always about, you know, building networks and getting kids exposed and building relationships. But if we can start that even earlier in the process, I think that can be really, really helpful too.
Yeah. I think to that point, like, it's playing out in real time for me and you, Chalisa, right? Like, we're in our 30s and, you know, you came to me with, hey, I need to change a scene and I need to do something different. And you knew that I was doing something wildly different than I ever planned on doing. And I did not expect that you were going to come work for us this summer. But, you know, just that connection and, you know, starting to think about, okay, Chalisa needs something different. Here's something different. I work closely with a couple people who think wildly outside the box and thought that it would just be a good introduction. And here we are, you know, and you're thinking about how to change education and how to change agriculture and how do we change the way that young people come into ag and the opportunities that we can give them in industry that make a lot more sense for them when they're a lot younger.
And I think it's giving them the courage to interact with adults too. I know sometimes picking up the phone and calling and that face-to-face interaction, specifically with cell phones and text messages and social media, has been harder and harder to come by. And so I think the quicker we can expose students to just, yeah, networking and interacting with people of all different demographics, of all different industries, can give them the courage to pick up the phone and call when they have questions, which is, I think, another thing that, again, can't be Googled, but something that students I've seen just in our local high school are struggling with more now than they ever used to.
Yeah, definitely. So in talking about this internship program with my school district, that was one of the things that they said is we have got to give students an opportunity to actually talk and have conversations, you know, face to face with people and build up their confidence because, you know, especially with COVID, kids lost that. They all of a sudden could hide behind a screen and they don't know how to talk. And I have students that they're scared to death to come talk to me. And I mean, I don't think I'm that scary, but they are. They don't even want to come, like, even to come up and say, hey, can I go down to the office for a minute? Like, they are scared and they'll have somebody else do it. And so spending some time and giving kids the opportunity to have conversations with adults and, I mean, even conversations between peers, I think is something that I've seen change. I mean, they'd rather sit in a room on their phones than talk to each other. And we need to fill that gap too.
Yeah. I mean, we could talk about that ad nauseum, right? Jimmy said the same thing last week. Val and I talked about that. Like, you know, you get into the real world and all of a sudden you have to have professional communication skills. And, you know, I know a lot of times in my work, it will be going back and forth on a chat and it's finally, can I just call you? Like, we can straighten this out in 2 minutes, you know, rather than the back and forth. And that wastes so much time. And to Val's point, we're busier than we've ever been. Like, you need to know those kinds of things, A, just to be a functioning human being, but also to be able to get stuff done.
Yeah.
I'm curious, Chalisa. So as we've been kicking this idea around the last, I only knew about this idea in the last couple of days because I've been on vacation for a week and I come back and, like, here you are changing the industry. But, you know, when you first started talking about this to me, my thought was, okay, do we involve universities in this? And so there's FFA and, like, universities and FFA and 4-H and the extension program all kind of play together in youth development and that sort of thing. But, you know, as I got to thinking about that, it seems like that could, you know, really kind of mire us in the weeds and quagmire of bureaucracy and, oh, you know, we have to think about this for 3 years before we get somewhere to it or get somewhere with it. The opportunities that you're talking about that IDS could do and other companies, you know, co-ops and food companies and crop companies and all of that, like, do you think that the opportunity here to move fast and, you know, maybe do it without rules is kind of like the model of the future?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it is. I love it. I love taking out a middleman. And nothing, I mean, I'm nothing against Extension or 4-H or FFA. I mean, they all have great programs, but, you know, we talk about we need young people in agriculture and we've got to bridge this gap and we got to be fast and we got to move. And also, I mean, from a company standpoint, you know, looking like with IDS, don't you want to work with people and train them exactly how you want them to be trained? I mean, that's more valuable for a company if they have that input. If they're having to say, oh, well, go do all your training with the university, they'll teach you and then I'll try to teach you and I'll take all that out. Let's just grab them and capture them while they're interested and excited and just get them going and kind of brainwash is not the right word, but get them doing exactly what you want them to do that's going to better your company and that's going to, you know, help your overall vision as a company to grow. And I think, yeah, the way to do that is let's have these industry partners just come in and do it.
Yeah, I love that too. Taking out the middleman, you know, how can we make this more efficient? And again, back to the point of we ain't got enough time. Why would you want to wait for 4 years and have someone trained in a way that you completely have to undo, you know, to get your company going faster where you want it to go? And as a lifelong rule follower, someone who's trying to recover from that, I think that approaches like this across agriculture, across the industry, you know, whether it's education, whether it's in private industry like Val and I are, or the public sphere, I think that this is a really, really cool way to flip everything on its head and just start moving faster. Because, I mean, the changes that we have seen since we came out of high school, the changes that we've seen in the last 5, 3, 2 years as AI has really turned into an actual real world and world-changing tool, I mean, universities can't keep up with that. High school classrooms can't keep up with that. And so, yeah, I love this idea of let's partner together. So it's been so much fun to have you on the show. I think we've talked about a lot of really, really cool things. Before we let you go, do you have any final parting thoughts on this topic?
I think so. If you're in education, if you are a teacher, and I know life is busy and crazy, but if more teachers could have the opportunity, thanks to you, that I had this summer of getting out and being in industry and actually seeing what's going on. Like I said, I've been in the classroom for 10 years and a lot's changed in 10 years. And the fact that I can now take that back to the classroom, I think is awesome. And so I would encourage any teacher, especially if you're in a rut, go out and do something. I mean, we do have some flexibility in the summer. Doesn't need to be a full-time job, but go get some industry experience in something that you care about and that you can apply in your classroom.
I think that's great words of inspiration for other educators too, because you get stuck in the, it doesn't matter what industry you're in or career, you sometimes get stuck in the four walls that surround you every day. So I think that's a great way to sign off. We'll put Peacock and IDS are always in the show notes as show sponsors. So those will be in there. And we thank you listeners for tuning into this week's episode.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of the Millennial Ag Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and like, subscribe, and review to our podcast. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or email us at talktous@millennialag.com. Until next week, we are Millennial Ag.